Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show tonight here on Tuesday, May 9th of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, on the Miracle Man Show, of course, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is great to be with you wherever you may be tuning in, however you may be tuning into the broadcast, and I'm so glad that you are here with us tonight. As I said, wherever you may be, whatever time zone, however you are tuning in, it's just great that you would have that determination to tune in. And it's just great that you would tune in night after night, as this has been going on for, it'll be 6 years officially on July the 25th, just so you know. But it's been great. I want to thank all of you who either you've been tuning in the whole time, maybe you've been tuning in kind of on and off, or maybe you are rather new to the broadcast, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night when we do this. We have people who listen live to this program that are from countries that where their time zone is 6 hours plus ahead of us. I didn't say straight up 6 hours. I said 6 hours plus, meaning some are even further ahead time than us.
That's crazy.
Figure that out. Like in some parts of Europe, Asia, Africa, they can be like 8, 9, 10 hours ahead of us, tuning in live to this program. And it's pretty incredible to me, if you think about it, that they'd be tuning in, you know, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, and it's not just something I'm kind of, you know, saying for something to say. I actually mean what I just said. I really do. The fact that people would tune in to this program, that they were tuning into this program at like 12:30 a.m. local time, 1:30 a.m. local time, 2:30, you know, what have you. Man, in that case, I pray you're sleeping good at night. But maybe, you know, you're working or something. Maybe you are just always plan it so you can wake up maybe and listen to my show and then go back to bed. And if you do that, I hope you remember it at least. But either way, it's great that you tune in. It really is great that you tune in and that you hear this program. It really is a great thing. And like I said, it really means a lot that you folk actually tune in. As I always say, wherever you're tuning in from, whatever device you're using. And I want you to feel free to tell others how they can be a part of this program. Because obviously the more people you tell, the more people tune into the broadcast. So that makes it an awesome thing when you have people telling other people how all they can be a part of this broadcast and they can be tuning in to the broadcast. Because of course I always believe God for more and more people to tune in from wherever they may be tuning in. And that even includes if you are in the armed forces, maybe, and you tune in, you know, we salute you and God bless you. And of course, want to salute all the moms this week. This is Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. And, of course, you know, honestly, in all of our cases, if it wasn't for our mom, we wouldn't be here. Of course, no mother, no mom, no birth. It's true. No mom, no birth. You know, hopefully, my hope is that you all able to have a good mom, you know, a great mom. Not everyone was able to have that. Not everyone is able to have that. And I know sometimes, you know, if you ever knew your mother, you probably know that sometimes she can be a pain in the neck. Anybody's mom can do. There's certain things that moms do. But you know, they love us. At least, you know, they're supposed to love us.
Amen.
I mean, mine does, but not every mom loves, because that's why I said they're supposed to. I know I said last night, you know, that mom of yours full of taught you to eat your vegetables. She taught you that beds are not trampolines. They're not trampolines. And I had another person who was older than my mom. But I was like 8 years old, and I'd be jumping on one of her kids' beds in her house. And she would, on her couch, and she would say, "Nah, that is not gymnastic equipment. That is not gymnastic equipment. River's Ray, stop jumping." me and my younger brother Ray. And sometimes we would both think it, we would be like, he was like 8, I was like 5, and we would think it'd still be cool to jump on stuff. But she'd be like, "No, that is not gymnastic equipment." I thought it was funny that she said that. Because by that age, I wasn't always jumping on stuff at my mom's house, but I wasn't always jumping at stuff, on stuff at the house, but they teach you certain things, and there's, you know, some moms will even tell their kids wise tales, like, don't do the hands in the pocket thing. Something bad might happen. Have you ever heard that?
Oh yeah, I have.
Don't. If you get that stain on your jeans one more time, it won't be pretty.
Yep, I think I've heard that a time or two.
What is that on your ear? What's that thing? That you got a little blackhead on you. Let me take it off. What? every boy is like, what?
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of little boys probably wouldn't like that so much, huh?
Yeah, they don't want their mom pulling out those blackheads.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could see how that might be.
Once I had one on my nose, I promise, it hurt for a couple of days after.
I believe it.
Did your mom pick out your blackheads?
Yes, she did.
Why did you hesitate?
Because I had to think about it, and if I really wanted to share that.
Don't worry, Mom, you're safe now, and I forgave you for that. But still, nonetheless, you know, sometimes they'll pick at your, honestly, they'll do it because they love you. Even though when they're picking at it, when they're, you know, doing what they're doing, trying to get that thing off of you, you think, what is she doing? Get her off of me. Get her off of me. Cuddle next to me or with me if you want, but don't be picking that thing off. You know?
Yeah, but she's even against what we knew back then. It's just because she wanted us to be better, huh?
It'd be like, I love you, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I love you and all, I'm sure I'll let you call me, but at the same time, it's like, don't sit here and try to pick at that thing while you cuddle me. And while we watch this movie, you know, the hashtag moments with a mother, of course, another. And I'm sure, you know, at my church on Sunday morning, there'll be silly clips, you know, certain things, because, you know, that mommy is. I remember one time years ago, they shared a video at my church on Mother's Day, and on it was something about Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and I was like, what? Why don't we have that luxury here? You know? I'm like, why don't we have them here? Like, why don't we have them, like, all over the place like the South does?
I guess because it's just a Southern kind of thing, huh?
They have them in, like, Ohio even, and in, like, Detroit area.
What?
And like Flint's got one.
What?
Coming.
I did not know that.
You didn't realize that Michigan had any.
I did not. Well, maybe we'll have to start.
We need one, but first I'd rather, you know, Flint get theirs, because honestly, I don't want Mount Pleasant to get one.
Why not?
The closest one I want to get one other than here is honestly Saginaw. Because I'm not that big of a Mount Pleasant guy.
No? How come?
I've just always preferred Saginaw over Mount Pleasant.
Hey, to each their own, right?
I've always been more of a Saginaw, Flint, Detroit, hashtag SFD. You know, the Saginaw, Flint, Detroit, like that side of the state, I-75. You know, as far as here in Michigan, big time. But, for those of you who wonder why, you know, when you go to that west side of the state, it's not freeway to freeway all the way from over here necessarily. And besides that, 75 has the semi.
Go semi.
And 10 doesn't have them. 127 doesn't have them. No, not really. Lansing doesn't have as many of them as Flint does, I don't think, do they?
Not really.
I don't think Grand Rapids has as many. Almost Grand Rapids might have as many, but not more. Certainly not more. But anyhow, folks. I got a good show for you tonight. And the first thing I want to remind you of is about the book. Oh, Mother's Day. I want to make sure, folks, that this week you at least call your mother. If you can possibly do it, send her a card. Make something for her. Even if you can, I might or might not have made some things for my mother. I don't know yet. I don't know if I did or not. she might be listening. That's why I said I don't know.
Give your mom some love
one way or the other. You know, whether I made my mom something or not, that's beside the point. But honestly, you know, give your mom some love some way or another, whether that involves taking her, you know, to dinner, making her dinner, whatever, giving her a card, give her a phone call, give her something. Don't just, you know, not give her anything, you know.
There's nothing else. Give her your time.
Give her your time at least, even if you just give her a couple minutes. Because after all, she brought you into the world. And so that's a PSA from the Miracle Man Show. A public service announcement, by the way, in case some of you might be wondering, you know, what's a PSA? Public service announcement. Okay. Nonetheless, back to your normal scheduled programming. I do want to tell you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how God has always been there. Story of a woman who God, that she could not see but strongly believed in, and how God has always been there when we went through stuff, and you know, even, you know, whatever, because obviously when you live on this earth, it is a constant battle. But the truth of the matter is, the victory is always greater than the battle. Always greater than the battle. I don't care what that how big that thing is that you're fighting. The victory is always greater. I don't care if what you're fighting is cancer. I don't care if it's you know, diabetes. I don't care if it's a heart thing. I don't care. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's depression, oppression. You know, anxiety. I don't care what it is. Whatever that stuff is that you're fighting, marriage issues,
finances,
children issues, financial issues. You know, whatever that stuff is. No matter how big that stuff is, no matter how severe that stuff feels, you know, the victory is always greater when you trust in God. Where's my phone?
Your phone?
Yeah. Just looking for it.
Yeah.
My mom, ever since, you know, she found out she was pregnant for me, she's always trusted in God. She's always believed God was there. She's always believed in Him. And the truth is you can too. You can believe in Him. And you can get the book, Rivers of Miracles, The Story of My Life. And how God has always been there. He's always been there on my behalf, on my mom's behalf. And, you know, we just keep on keeping on in the things of God. And that is what we know to do.
Where can they find this book if they're not familiar with that?
If you're not familiar with it, you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S. Rivers with an I, as in rivers of living water. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com in order to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. And let it be a blessing to your life. My prayer is that it will build up your faith. If it doesn't build up your faith, I don't know what to tell you. Your faith level must be so low that maybe it's possibly even in the negative. It'd be like going to the gas station to fill up your car, and no amount was good enough to fill up your car. Like, you put in, like, you know, 18 gallons, and it's still not, or 22 gallons, or 24 gallons, and it's still not good enough to fill it up. And that's even with it, if it had a regular-sized tank. You know, we're just saying, if it was a normal-sized tank. I don't get how you would get anywhere with your gas tank on negative. Oh, it only runs on E. But nonetheless, just imagine, you know, if your faith was so low, you know. But no, we don't want to do that, because the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. So I pray that the book will increase your faith, and maybe, why not think about maybe buying one for yourself, and then maybe buying one for your mother, maybe, you know, for Mother's Day.
Now, there's a good idea.
That's totally not a bad idea, and you can feel free to do that if you wish. And then the other thing I want to remind you about is sowing seed into the Miracle Man program. And you can sow your seed into the program, and it just helps keep us going, keep on keeping on. And how you do that is you go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. That's my name. Rivers. R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that the first R in Rivers And then the S and Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So make a note of that if you would, please. The other thing that I want to keep you to keep in mind is that there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. So make a note of that if you would. And whenever you sow your seed and I know about it, I always pray over it. And I always pray that God bless you and that he bless your life, because I want you to be blessed. I really do. And there's no pressure. I don't sit here and try to pressure you and try to get you to give a certain amount, whatever that amount may be. That's between you and God. That's the way I see it. If you feel pressure, it's from God. It's not from me, because I don't do pressure offerings. If you want those, you'll have to have them. Maybe you'll have to have them from someone else, because I don't do those. The verse you will sow in your life tonight is, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So how's your soul? How are you doing at forgiving people? How are you? And I'm not a pastor, so I don't collect the tithe, but there's a principle that I want to tell you. This is something my pastor has been mentioning a bit from time to time, more recently than what he used to. And here's this. Whether you're a Christian or not, you will pay your tithe. And here's what I mean by that. Either you'll pay your tithe, or the devourer will come and take it. But when that devourer comes and takes it, when the devil comes and takes it, it will be, it'll be a lot more than that tithe, that 10%. It'll be a lot more than that tithe, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a lot more than that 10%. So either way, the tithe is being paid. Either way, whether you want it to be or not. I mean, when that enemy comes and takes your tithe, it'll be by his force. And by the way, that when he takes it, it won't be rebuking the devourer from your life. Either way, you're paying your tithe. Either way, you're paying your tithe. But you can go to PayPal and sow your seed. When I get notified, then I'll pray for your seed. And so, praise God. We got a couple of songs for you. I have heard.
He is faithful?
Yes, he is faithful.
Right?
Actually, it's a totally different one. I'll have to do it without the music.
Okay.
I have heard a sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds, and healing brokenness. We are a generation breaking through despair. I hear a generation full of faith declare. And our song, it will be, oh, out of the darkness we will rise and sing he is faithful, he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. healing right now. He is hope and joy, love and peace and life. I have heard a sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds, and healing brokenness. We are a generation breaking through despair. We are the generation filled with the power of Christ. And our song, it will be. Yeah.
Out of the darkness.
Out of the darkness we will rise and sing. He is faithful. He is glorious. And he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom. He is healing right now. He is hope, joy, love, peace, life. He has paid the highest price. Yes. He has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives. And proclaim our love for him. Yes. He has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives. And proclaim our love for him. And proclaim our love for him. He is faithful. He is glorious. And he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom. He is healing right now. He is hope, joy, love, peace, and life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to song two.
All right, let me get that session for you.
Which is
The More I Seek You.
Yeah, more. Yes, the more.
Broker shortens the time from harvest to
home. Oh, sorry about that, folks. Sorry about that, folks. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
All right. You go ahead and do it without the music. You're better.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. And I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, lay written from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. And I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming.
That was beautiful, Rivers.
Thank you, Jesus. And now, Psalm number 3. O judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, God Almighty.
Through your Holy Spirit,
conceiving Christ the sinner's Son, Jesus, the Savior. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you grow the glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I do. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I do. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Oh, I believe in life eternal. I believe in
virgin birth.
I believe in the Saint Communion and in your Holy Church. I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We believe in you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that Trinity. Thank you for what you are.
Yes,
we
amen.
Thank you. We thank you, God, for your Son who died and was risen again. We thank you for
hallelujah.
Your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
For your Holy Hallelujah. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that was brought here for us. Thank you, Master, for your moving on behalf of every listener who has tuned in tonight, either on their computer or their device or their tablet, their electronic tablet, I should say, because my pen can connect to the internet? No. But Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you are with us right now, each and every one of us, wherever we may be. Thank you, Master, for that you're making a difference in our life, and that we thank you, Lord God, for bringing us all here, you know, onto this broadcast, wherever these people may be tuned in. I don't know where they all are, but I know you do. And I thank you, Master, that all of the storms of life that may be going on, trying to stop them, trying to get in their way, that all that stuff would cease right now. I thank you that you would cease that stuff, whatever it is that's coming against all these people. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. I mean, yeah, there's life stuff, but each and every person might have that own battle that they might be dealing with. And I thank you, Lord God, that you just deal with this stuff, whatever it is that we're dealing with, whether it be financial, whether it be health stuff, whether it be marriage stuff. You know what it is. Maybe they've found themselves addicted to some stuff, some substances. But I thank you, Lord God, that you lift the burden of all of that, and you free us from all of that stuff, and that it is your will for us to be free. And I thank you, Lord God, for as we open our Bible tonight, thank you that you minister to each and every one of us through your word tonight that we're about to open and study. And I thank you that these listeners will have ears to hear and minds that will be received, that will not be distracted by all this other stuff that might be on their mind. And I thank you, Lord God, for that, so that as we study, that they'll be focused on you and not on all this other stuff. And I thank you for that. And now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases and more and more people will turn into this broadcast. More importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Go with me to Mark 16, if you would, please. I'm going to teach on something called the Great Commission. I'll tell you what that's about when we get to that. Mark 16, praise God. And I'm going to start with the verse 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And if you beat me, You're a cheetah. No, you're not a cheetah, but you might be a cheetah if you beat me.
You're not even wearing your cheetah shirt.
C-H-E-E-T-A-H. You might be a cheetah. You might. And no, I'm not wearing a cheetah shirt, but I have a cheetah shirt. No, listeners, I do not cheat at dice. I do not cheat at my little pocket thing that I have upstairs, and a couple of which I have in my fanny. But that's beside the point. Usually I would not do this on the show, but nonetheless, while you're trying to turn.
That's what he'd like you to think.
Don't be playing this because I said turn to a Bible verse. If I said turn to Mark 16, and I would hear you guys, y'all on live cam from your house, I would hope I'd be hearing pages turning like this. And not be hearing pockets.
All right, one more reminder for everybody.
Okay, Mark 16. I'm gonna begin with verse 1. Okay, all seriousness now, verse 1, and I want you to pay attention, and follow along, and don't just sit there and be like, oh, not paying attention, and just decide to go to sleep on me. No, rather you not do that. So you won't get as much from this, but, if you all decide to just, fall asleep. Okay, honesty, verse 1, and it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man that was dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Do not be alarmed, Jesus said. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid, believe it or not. So, verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. Those returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go home and pout. I'm sorry. I don't know. Okay, verse 15. He said to them, stay home then, you unbelieving. No. Let's try this again. Go home. No, go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature, all creation, either way. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, and he confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So you see there, he confirmed the word. He didn't just teach the word and decide, you know, okay, I don't know, maybe they'll get it, maybe they won't get it, I don't know, do I need to confirm it, do I not need to confirm it? Oh, it was confirmed. It was confirmed. We sang a song tonight about this, I believe. It talks about believing in the resurrection. Talks about believing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And maybe the disciples could have sang that. But maybe no one had written it yet. Maybe had they actually sang it, maybe they would have been able to believe. Maybe they would have been able to believe that Jesus had in fact risen from the dead, because they had trouble believing it. He had to appear to them a third time for them to finally get it. And then when he did, he wasn't like, "Hi, folks, praise God, it's so great to see you." No, he rebuked them because of their lack of faith, because of their unbelief. So many of them weren't believing. They had a hard time believing that he had risen. And beforehand, you know, some of them, they weren't praying. They were sitting here sleeping and resting before the crucifixion. They were sitting and resting. They were acting like it was a hotel when it was. And like they were just sitting there sleeping, resting. Like, I'm tired. I got stuff to do tomorrow. I bet you that was what was going through some of their brains. I got stuff to do tomorrow. I got oxen to feed. I got horses. But then he tells them something to do. Go into all the world and preach the good news. He didn't say, folks, all 11 of you, go home, because many of you don't even believe. He said, no, go preach the news, the good news. The good news, the news of Jesus. I don't mean the fake news. Sorry, CNN. Sorry, MSNBC, ABC. Sorry about that, folks, but go into all the world and preach the good news, not the fake news, the good news to all nations, every nation. And he told them certain things, you know, whoever believes and is baptized will be will be free, but whoever doesn't believe will be condemned. And when he's talking about baptism, he means not just in water, but ultimately he wants them to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and not just with, you know, when Jesus was baptized, he had said to the disciples, I baptize you with water, but who comes after me, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So for those of you who wonder what is fire baptized, that's what that means. That doesn't mean like someone took you out in a fire. No. With the Holy Ghost. That's what that's talking about. But he said, go into all the world, preach the good news to all, the different nations. And then talks about, if they'll pick up snakes, it won't hurt them. If they drink any deadly poison or whatever it might be, it will not hurt them. That doesn't mean go drink a certain kind of poison that could kill you right on the spot. No, that's not what he's trying to say. And then he says, they will lay their hands on the sick. And he didn't say, I don't know if they'll get well. I don't know if they will or not. He said, they'll lay their hands on the sick and they will be healed. I mean, like, they'll pray over them for, the different things and they'll be set free. And then those disciples, they go forth and preach everywhere. And the word is confirmed by the signs that accompanied it. Miracle man, what do you mean signs? Miracles. The word was confirmed by miracles. People were healed. People were delivered of things. Prodigals came home, I imagine. People who used to doubt like nobody's business, they became believers. They became believers. People gave their life to Jesus. And folks, the greatest miracle of all is in fact salvation. It's not healing. It's salvation. Not to belittle healing at all, because that is a huge one. That's a great one. A wonderful one. Healing, divine healing, divine health. That's a wonderful thing. But, the greatest miracle of all is your salvation.
Amen.
Yeah, if you've been saved, you've all been a wretch at some point, even if you were like a 4-year-old wretch when you got saved. But I thank God that He would save a sinner like me.
Amen.
That He would save a sinner like me, because even if you were 4 years old or 5 years older, you still had to give an account. I mean, you still had to be saved. And I can see where there is quite possibly a mercy rule for those under the age of accountability, who are younger than the age of accountability, whatever that is. But, I do. I can totally see where there's a mercy rule there, but even though it might not be placed right there where we can all see it, and it, like what it might say, if you are under the age of 7, you will automatically go to heaven. But I could see where that's, I could see very well where that could be the case. But nonetheless, folks, salvation is the best miracle that there is, because he saved you, he saved me, and you say, miracle man, did you really just say that with all those different surgeries and all the different stuff you had to go through and all the different miracles you saw in your body when Jesus healed you and helped you? Are you really saying that without? Yeah, I am. Why? Because it's the truth. The greatest miracle of all is your salvation. It really is, because he saved you and he changed your destination from hellfire to heaven. And you say, what about this going all the world and preach? I can hear some of you saying, well, I'm not called to the pulpit. I'm not called to the fivefold ministry. Truth of the matter is, you might not have a pulpit. You might very well not be called to the fivefold ministry, and only certain people are. But to preach with your life. The truth is we preach by our what? We preach by our life. When people see you where you're supposed to be a Christian, and they see you out there smoking, drinking alcohol, whether it's getting, well, I drink, but I don't get drunk. It's not about did you get drunk or not. You're ruining your witness when you do that. You are ruining your witness, because we should be preaching by our life. If you say you believe God, say you're born again, say, maybe you shouldn't, do these certain things, but you're seen out there in the bar, for example, by people who have claimed also that they were Christian, and some of them might, they can be like, you go to certain so-and-so church. Yeah. Well, what are you doing here? But when you do that, you're ruining your witness. So we teach through our life. If you say you love Jesus, don't let someone hear you using the Lord's name in vain. Don't be doing that. Because then people will wonder, are they for real or not? So part of how you preach is through your life. How do they see you? How do they hear you? That doesn't always mean, that every person listening to my voice has their own, has a pulpit in a church or on a street corner or somewhere else. But we preach through our own lives and for those who see us. When someone sees you with a shirt that says something like God possessed, that's awesome. When someone sees you in a shirt like that, I only use that as an example because I had a shirt that says it. That's all. Or during COVID, even now, it's a good shirt to wear. We had certain shirts that had been distributed, my church that many people have bought. So the fear is a liar thing. And someone sees you wearing a shirt that says fear is a liar, You know, that's great. Or you see a, or, you know, I've seen billboards. I remember one time I was on Interstate 65 in either Indiana or Kentucky, either far south Indiana or far north Kentucky. There was a billboard somewhere. It said, hell is real. Do you remember seeing that certain billboard or no?
I've seen that billboard, yes.
I had seen it back in 07. It was still there as of what, last year at some point?
I'm not sure when they took it down.
Or was it still, you're not sure even if they took it down or if it's still there?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I do remember seeing it.
Was it in, like I said, far south Indiana or far north Kentucky?
I've seen it up north here in Michigan before.
As well as on 65, you were saying.
Yeah, yep.
The 65 one, you don't know where it is, but you feel like you've seen it at least a few times.
Yes, I definitely seen it a few times.
In that same spot.
Correct. Yep.
But here, up here, it's been more of a come and go, you feel like.
Yeah, I feel like it moves around a bit.
But down there, you feel like it's always been in the same spot. It literally says, hell is real. That's literally what it says.
How do you think that makes people feel when they read that?
Hopefully for those who are saved, you know, it just makes them think and realize. But hopefully, you know that it is, and that they can, and hopefully they can rest assured and know that they won't be going there. You know, and for teenagers, you know, I hope that at some point you'd have a nightmare about hell and why you wouldn't want to go there. I'm not sitting there saying we should just all have any kind of nightmare we want to have about anything we want to have. No, you don't want to have other nightmares. But if you had a nightmare, about hell, you know, that would be an eye-opener. Someone, you know, that made it like a CD type thing or whatever. It was called Hell for 23 Minutes. They had been in hell for 23 minutes, basically like in that vision. They were in hell for 23 minutes, and it was wild stuff. It was wild stuff. Anyone who hears it, I hope it sombers you up if you've ever seen that, if you've ever heard it. That stuff is for real. But you know what else is real? Heaven. Where I plan to go. Heaven. Just like hell is real, so is heaven. And it lasts for just as long. It really does. And I hope for those people who haven't been living right, my hope is that when people see that sign that says that, that it really opens their eyes and makes them think. What does that thing say? And then hopefully they'll be like, wow. Because folks, this is the last of the last days. Every day we get closer and closer. At some point the trumpet's going to blow. I really do believe it'll be in my lifetime. Quite honestly, that trumpet's going to blow. And when it blows, you know, he'll be coming down to get us. And don't try to, like, lift your eyes to the ceiling. Try to lift your whole body up to the ceiling thinking that, he's going to come and get us. So we don't have to be all scared just because you heard a little trumpet. Somewhere, but just check the clock. Oh, we're good. Cause I wasn't going to say, Lord have mercy, the clock's the clock, when I have no need to worry. You know, that's more for when you do, you know, because I heard my pastor say that in the past, you know, back in the day, I would say, Lord of mercy, the clock, the clock. But But anyhow, you know, people, you know, they see us. You know, and whether you think so or not, you're preaching through your life. Whether you have a pulpit, whether you're a pastor or not. I think of one pastor, for a story where Dr. Buckley said, where he had been somewhere, and he goes in this back room of a church somewhere, another state. Maybe it's in this state, I don't know. But he goes back there, noticing that some pastor, he notices the smell. That pastor had been smoking, you know, some marijuana or something like that. And so he goes, you know, and he asks them this question. What's up with you, this smoking, you know, marijuana? And he goes, well, when I do this, I revelate better. No, you don't, you numbskull. You hallucinate. It doesn't make you revelate better. See more revelations. I mean, it was crazy. I wish I could say, I wish that I could say, by the way, folks, I just made that up. The truth is I can't, because that happened, and so pastor was like, and then pastor found out, you know, elders and that of the church were trying to warn him, trying to tell him, you know, it's not good. But that was not a good thing. So people see you, you know, as you go through this life. And we have been also this side of it. We've all been called to the ministry of reconciliation. We've also been called to evangelists, like in our own right, because an evangelist is someone who, you know, who goes to win souls for Jesus. So we're not all pastors. We're certainly not all prophets. We're not all apostles, nor are we all teachers. But we are all called to win souls for Jesus. So even when you tell someone about Jesus, and maybe you've, and hopefully maybe even you share a little bit of your testimony in that, when you tell somebody about, like, I, you know, this and that, and, you know, maybe you can do that, but you can tell them, you know, you can, you know, you don't have to live the life of sin. You can be saved. You can be born again. You know, Jesus died on the cross for you because he loves you. He cares about you. And the message of salvation really does preach. And you don't have to be in a church pulpit to tell somebody. You don't. And hey, if you've been a student, maybe you're in a public school, and maybe you've won some souls in there, that is awesome. You know, that is cool. I had heard something a couple months ago where Dr. Rodney Howard Brown had literally said from his pulpit that there were more souls being won for God in Hillsborough County schools than in any other county in America, based on like a per person basis or something. And that was pretty incredible when he said that. I was like, wow. Because Hillsborough County, that's the county in which his church is, in which Tampa, Florida is, Brandon, Florida is, and other different Tampa suburbs that are on that side of the bridge, of the bridges. But you see, God, you know, was using them. And, you know, the truth is we've all been called by God for something. We all have. And there's only one thing we can take with us to heaven. And it's not donuts.
Aw, man.
Ah. Ugh. I'm sorry. But I do honestly believe that there will be a banqueting table in heaven. There will be so many donuts on it, it's going to be unreal. There's going to be all the cupcakes in the world you want, including cherry cupcakes. By the way, the ones you told me about sounded so good. Where are mine? But nonetheless, the only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. I'm trying to sound like a chicken or whatever, like Rodney Howard Brown's done before from his pulpit. I thought it was so hilarious when he tried to do that. He was around, you know, but that's the only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. And hopefully you can take a lot of them with you, not just one or two. And I tell you, folks, the longer that God tarries, the more damage I plan to do the devil's kingdom, the way I see it. Because, you know, piercing the darkness with the light of Christ. We actually had a station up here about 30 years ago. There was a station around here that used to say that. But then they got rid of it. But I thought it was pretty neat that they used to say that. But that's what we should be doing as Christians, you know, piercing that darkness with the light of Christ. And if it's being pierced, that means it's being like outshined. It's being pierced. But those disciples, though, they actually went and did it. They didn't sit. They actually went and preached. They didn't sit there and go, well, I don't know, Jesus. I really don't know. What if they had said, I don't know, Jesus. Are you sure this is actually going to work? Do you know for a fact this is going to work, Jesus? Do you know? They could have sat there and been all fearful. But they actually went after they had seen him and known for sure that he was alive and firmly believed. They repented of their doubting. They repented of their doubting. And they followed him. And obviously, I feel like it took them some courage to admit that then they had been doubting. But then when they could see it, and then they could see that he could honestly raise the dead. And they had seen not that he could raise the dead, but that he himself, Jesus himself, had been raised from the dead. And then they fully believe, when they finally believed that it was him, after that third attempt, and I'm like, oh, okay, now we believe. Oh, but they were being sternly rebuked. What all he told them and how all he rebuked them wasn't in there. But something tells me he sat there with them for a good, I don't know, half hour or more, rebuking them. Even if it was at least a half hour he spent with them rebuking them,
Well, I bet at least a good solid half hour.
Maybe even an hour.
I could see it. Sometimes we need to be rebuked.
So I can imagine him going up to him going one by one. Oh, really, Jesus? You mean I? You know, like that, you know?
Yeah,
oh,
I can see that.
Oh, really, Jesus? Oh, no, I honestly believe. And then I'm sure he's checking one of them, and they're like, yep, we believe. You know, and that, you know, because he's like, well, if you do believe, then go into all the world and preach the gospel. I didn't mean to add it, if you believe. He meant go to all the world, which tells me that he had probably talked to them, you know, and found out that they, like, all believed. And so I can see where he would say, if you believe. Does that make sense? That maybe he would?
Yeah.
Well, if you do, then go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, you know, every creature, whoever believes. Whoever believes, will be saved. Whoever does not believe, they'll be condemned. And then he tells them, you'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. He didn't say they might. He didn't say. I don't know if they will or not. You'll have to pray about it first for a while. No, he said they'd be healed. And you know what happens? They went out and preached everywhere, not one or two places. They went all over preaching, teaching people. And the word was confirming itself by the signs that accompany the word of God. People were being saved. People were being healed. People were being delivered. And you look at what happened in the book of Acts, with Paul, who had formerly been Saul. Yeah, the Saul. The Paul that wrote many of the books at the back of the New Testament. He had been persecuting Jesus. That lightning came, blinded him for a couple of days. He had his eyesight restored, and he repented. And he said, because Jesus, through that, had spoken, said, I am Jesus, who you persecuted. Some people, it just, hey, Paul was a crazy, when he was Saul, he was a crazy box of rocks to deal with.
He sounded like it.
Yeah, Dr. Barclay has said from the pulpit at my church that his first ever pastor, Bill Falling from California, he's in heaven now, but he literally told him, Mark, you were the dumbest box of rocks I ever met, but I got through to you. Remember hearing him say that?
I do.
You were the dumbest.
Last Sunday?
You were the dumbest box of rocks I ever met. That's literally what he said. I'm sure I can see where someone might have thought that about Saul, who became Paul. That's different from the Saul in the Old Testament. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. I pray, Lord God, that we would get this word in our own hearts and that we would have it in us to tell those about you, however you have us do it. Maybe certain people that we see that might be down or whatever, and then we ask them, if they know you. Maybe it's power it is, Lord, I pray that you know, we would get this word in our hearts, Lord God, and that more people would find out about you, Jesus, and what you are, who you are. And I thank you, Master, for that in Jesus' name, and that we'd be doers, those who do your word, with the signs that, with the word confirmed by the signs that accompanied it, and not just be those who hear the word only and never do it. Thank you, Lord God, that we would be the doers in your name. And I thank you, Master, for that in Jesus' name. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.